program.
It's time for action, gentlemen.
Gee, I'm very hot.
Program complete. Listen when ready.
Okay.
I still have to order you that shirt.
I hit the button and then like I have to count to 10 and then see it pop up or something. Let everyone know you're being recorded. Hey guys, you're being recorded. Just so you know.
What?
Just in case you didn't realize. Welcome back to the Nerd Trek podcast. I am your host, David. And as always, I am here with Jeff.
Hey there.
And Philippe.
Hey, everybody.
And again, for, I believe, the fifth episode in a row, the bestest of guests is Stephanie Rose is back with us.
Yay! Hello.
Does that mean it's t-shirt time?
You officially have joined the, it's like joining the SNL Five Timers Club, but way cooler. So we give you a shirt.
Yeah.
We send you a shirt.
Yeah. For all of the hours of your life that we've wrecked.
Yes.
This is your compensation.
Wasted.
I have it on good authority. Moments. Ask for the racer back. Apparently those are the, ooh, the okay. Better. The really
that's
good ones.
That's
the one my wife loves. And yeah. I think that was the one Kara had.
I do love that the racer back tank. I will say that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I can, highly recommend that.
There's some good ones.
And today we are doing the sort of Kalis. Not Colin.
We had to practice that.
Make sure, by I got
way.
That right. I had to practice that. Let's see. Season 4, episode 9, originally aired November 20th, 1995, where we get to see Worf kind of sort of play Indiana Jones. Basically.
Yeah, it's the Klingon Holy Grail.
It is. Yep. They went to find the Sword of Kalis, and it's betrayal.
Way easier than I thought it was going to be.
Way yeah. easier.
Oh, yeah.
Betrayal and imagined. A hologram screen, and yeah. The fact that they did it in one-hour episode, I was like, wow, this thing was never found before? Okay. But apparently it's because somebody found, like, its bag and gave it to...
What's well, his name? Part Shroud. Of it is because it was in the Gamma Shroud. Quadrant, so they didn't have access to it.
Yeah,
I know. But it still is. Somebody found its bag. They found its...
Yeah, found a Vulcan science team.
Yeah. The Shroud of Kalis.
And Worf is joined by Klingon Liam Neeson. As they go,
Liam Neeson.
I dare you watch it. It's Liam skills. Neeson in makeup. It looks just like him. At first, I thought it was Christopher Lloyd, and it was not. And I was like, as I watched him talk, I was like, nope, that looks like Liam Neeson. I know it's not actually Liam Neeson. Yeah. Send me all your hate mail. I don't care.
We have met this Klingon right. before.
Have we?
Yeah, 50
you know
years
how good
ago.
My memory is, Jeff.
Okay, so he was in that episode with Dax where there's like that old blood oath and the three Klingons go with Dax on this like vengeance. Okay. But it's also the same actor in Klingon who was in TOS when they pulled those people to come back. Yeah.
Aaron of Mercy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Gotcha.
Same actor, yeah. Better makeup.
I mean, I admit I don't remember what those three Klingons looked like in that one episode. So
they look like Klingons. They look the same. Attention. It's fine.
Except he's the Har Master Core now. So.
Can't say that. No.
Oh, sure. Core can say it. It's fine.
All the guys in the same makeup look the same. Who knew? But yes, so this one, they have the Shroud, and what's his name? Liam Neeson shows up and is like, hey, let's go on an adventure. And I don't know why he was on the station in the first place, except I guess he was heading to the Gamma Quadrant, so he needed the wormhole. Because Jax ends up introducing Worf, and then Worf goes with him. But
he needed Dax's help to confirm the authenticity of the Shroud.
That's what it was. I knew I kept you around for a reason, Phil. That's why you're here. But yeah, so Worf is like, let me go. I did kind of like that at the beginning where he's like, he calls them all the names. When he meets Worf and he's like... But the bad stuff.
Yeah.
Like, all the bad stuff. A traitor.
Like the Thorian Garrod,
a traitor, an outcast. Yeah. The lowest of the low. Pariah.
I could tell it was going to be one of those of like, this horrible person. I like him.
I like him. Shake my hand.
But he did it really well. So I was like, oh, okay. Pleasure to meet you. So, Stephanie, what'd you think of this episode?
I thought it was a pretty good episode, but I agree with you. I think it should have been stretched out over several episodes. I think that this could have been a really good long-running storyline. But I do like the idea behind it. I like that it brings out some different parts of Worf's personality that we haven't seen before, you know, and it really gives him a little bit more depth in certain areas, but also shows that he is, you know, not as honorable, I guess, always as he seems. Which, you know, it's kind of nice to see that. Again, I like seeing multifaceted characters. I don't want them to always just be the good guy or the bad guy and no in between, you know, like, cause that's just not the spectrum in which most, you know, sentient beings work on. But I also really love the actual sword, like the batleth that they created for this, because this was the most elaborate one they had created for the series yet at this point. And I thought that was really, really great. But the idea, I mean, like you said, it is kind of Indiana Jones-like, but, you know, there's some fun history that we learn about the Klingons through this as well. And I just like that it gives a little bit more to the lore, a little bit more depth.
Yeah, and it shows what happens when you meet your heroes and they don't live up to your expectations.
Yeah.
I think that's what a lot of the cause of Worf's actions were, that he's like, oh, Korra was like falling down drunk, had the secrets literally stolen from his head. And he was telling everybody like what the plans were and what his quest was, and flapping his gums, and loose lips sink ships. So
And this, I don't know, paralleled Indiana Jones so much. I literally just kept waiting for like the music to start in the background as they were going. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, here comes a giant boulder like rolling down the thing, chasing after him.
But I mean, it basically is. They're looking for the Klingon version of the Holy Grail from Klingon Jesus. Like, it's exactly what it is. And yeah, and they even did that old little trope of like, oh, they find a room and it's empty. Ooh, did somebody clear all of this out? And then they figured out from the dust that it was a hologram projection and like went through there. And yeah, I don't know. Even like it, not even the length of it. The length of it wasn't too bad, but they didn't show a lot of steps in trying to get there. I feel like it just needed to be like a little less talking and a little more complicated for them to find it, because whenever you have one of those treasure hunt things, that's how you have to feel, is like, oh, I wouldn't have found that, like, if I was there. And this, you're kind of like, I would have found that.
It was pretty obvious.
Yeah, the Vulcans in this one did a lot of heavy lifting, because it was like, oh, yeah, the Vulcans mapped out the entire surface of this thing, and they labeled everything perfectly, and so we knew exactly where to beam down to, and we just kind of put two and two together and called it a day. So yeah, the Vulcans did a lot of work in this episode.
Yeah.
They should have had them like have to find the Klingon Declaration of Independence and then do like the heat thing on the back and like.
Be amazing.
Like what?
Sorry, what were
Nicolas Cage comes running through. Like what? What the hell was that?
Steal it.
Come on, guys.
Stealing the sword of Kalos.
Oh.
I'd watch the shit out of that.
That would be so awesome.
Yeah, and then because then it shows too about how I had not seen this one, but and there was a part of me that was like, they're gonna find out that it's like possessed or it like does something to whoever carries it, but it's more I think just that like that kind of like they think, you know, they have this like holy artifact and it's like the power that it, or that feeling it kind of gives them that they think they should, you know, carry it amongst them. It's like it's like the Holy Grail, or you've got the, you know, the Shroud of Turin or something,
right?
And I do kind of like that. It doesn't have to have supernatural capabilities. It's just so important to everybody that everybody loses their minds when they're around it, because they're like, it's right there and I could do it, like the absolute power corrupts absolutely kind of thing.
Well, yeah, and give Worf credit for recognizing that and being like, yeah, we can't let this fall into others' hands.
Oh, yeah, totally. The way that he handles that is the only way it could be handled, you know, because otherwise would have been wars. It would have just led to killing each other again. Like,
I just feel bad. Like, what if it just goes into a sun or something and just burns up? feel bad.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. So what exactly did they just beam it outside and then call it a day? Like,
so it seemed like, yeah, beamed it into space.
See, beam the sword into space, it's like, leave it to destiny to decide him. So somebody, some poor person coming by in a ship suddenly has this, like, batleth sticking out of its windshield.
Like the ultimate Final Destination thing, and just, like, bam, right through a windshield.
Oh, my God. Like,
oh, shit. Did not see this coming.
Kind of want a Star Trek Final Destination movie now.
Oh, my God.
That would be very interesting. How many teleporters do you think would be involved in all of the
Oh, all of them.
So many.
All the teleporters.
It'd just be all transporters. Yeah.
The teleporter and the replicator combined technologies and everybody turned into food. No.
Amazing. Oh, God, maybe that is every holodeck episode that goes bad when the safeties go off is like a Final Destination. That's right. What it is.
Dude,
it
is. Yeah. Is Scotty getting trapped in the transporter for like 50 years?
No. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I've been stuck in this buffer.
I can't believe they beamed it to space. Like, beam it back to where it was. Like,
no, because then they could just come back and find it.
Because then any other person could.
Yeah. Oh, I was like, they could come back and find it, but the two of them agreed not to, I guess. But
he was already telling everybody the plan to begin with, and so I guarantee you, by the time other people would.
I guess, but I'm like, either of them also knows where they beamed it into space. They could come back there and try to like find it too. But
yeah,
I guess it is a little more up to randomness. Because at first I thought they destroyed it, and I was like, oh, that's ballsy. Like,
But to take that a step further than, you know, Worf is saying, I'm making the choice to throw this out here in space where I know where it is. I could retrieve it, but I'm choosing not to. Like, he's still choosing to be the bigger, you know, the bigger person in that. And
like, not today.
Yeah.
You know, that's true.
But Corino was where
and
he
after
was
he tried
too.
To kill the other guy, I mean, it's like, you know, he had to make up for it somehow. There had to be a little redemption there at the end. Like,
yeah.
No, well, so and there were still some of the Duras people were left too. There's at least a couple of them left alive, so they know where it's at too.
So this poses an interesting question. It's almost like a math word problem. If you're traveling in space on a spaceship and you beam something into space, does it keep moving at the same speed as your ship because there is no friction? Or does it stop in space because it got beamed there, or like the physics still apply to it? We need Dr. Aaron.
Damn, where's Dr. Aaron when we need her?
Yeah, because I think we see it kind of like it's like floating.
You see it moving. Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's spinning whenever it's first launched out. But
see, if they would have shot it out of a photon torpedo tube or something.
That would make sense.
Like they do with, like a body. Because that's
like a Spock.
like anybody thinks,
I think I saw that question on a forum group the other day, too, where they were like, if they've just been dumping people out into space like that for a long time, how many ships hit dead bodies when they're flying around? Like,
space is really big.
It is really big, but you're doing it a lot in the same areas, too, because like it's probably areas relatively close to Earth and like in the Alpha Quadrant. So you do it.
That's why you have a deflector dish.
Just push them out of the way.
It deflects it.
Okay, so now that's what you need to see in Star Trek, is them driving along and just thunk, thunk, thunk,
thunk, bing, bing.
Or even better,
it's like the bug zap.
Like,
it's like the bug zappers when they like
adding it
when
into
you
the video
hit them.
Game where when you're flying through space, you're just hitting,
It's so good.
I'm like, man.
I kind of want to say, I think if you beam it into space, it would just remain still. Because it was still when they beamed it.
Well, I guess that's what I'm thinking. Obviously, in this case, maybe they were sitting still in the ship, and so it beamed out there. But I'm like, if you beam something out at warp, like, would it continue at warp?
You can't beam at warp.
Text Dr. Aaron, see if she has 5 minutes.
I'm not Hold on.
No,
be like, hey, can you jump on real fast?
Really important nerd question.
No, we have super important questions.
Call her and see if she'll pick up, and we'd be like, you're on the air.
Like, Dr. Aaron, you're live.
We're not gonna phone a friend. All right.
No. Enough. I'm not abusing that.
Oh, we totally should.
Actually, I don't. When is this gonna air? Is this gonna air before or after the upcoming solar eclipse? Surprise! We're recording before.
After, I think.
After? Oh, okay. Then I won't mention. Well, anyways, I hope Dr. Aaron had fun at the whiskey and solar eclipse event at Miriam Whiskey, the thing that where Blair works at. In Texas?
Oh,
it's in Texas.
There?
Yes, she's
going
to be there.
I want to know.
what's the name of the whiskey? Miriam.
I don't know because we never got our samples.
I don't know.
I can buy Jesus. No, there's a okay. So we have a friend who has been on the podcast who works at a whiskey distillery. I think it's called Miriam and Green. And I don't know where that's it at.
Look it up.
Okay.
Wildly texting.
And that is where that's where the event is going to be. Gotcha.
Polanco, Texas.
Okay.
I don't know where that's. But so, yeah, because I guess part of the solar eclipse is going through Texas. And so, yeah, I guess Erin is doing some sort of event there because she likes whiskey and science.
Mm-hmm. One of the biggest areas where you can actually view the solar eclipse is going to be through all of Central Texas. So it's going to be the longest that you can see it there as well, which is why so many people are coming down here for that.
Oh, no wonder.
Oh, cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, people are making a huge deal about it. I mean, every like bar, restaurant, event center, like everybody is doing something for it because this is going to be one of the longest ones that's ever been, you know, witnessed in our lifetime. So
it's like just north of San Antonio, like maybe an hour or two north of San Antonio.
Okay. So, you know, I want to go to Texas for science. Go see science.
Yeah, for science. And then come down just and
go see science, Jeff.
Yes. And science. And whiskey and science and cosplay.
Yeah.
call my mom and dad. Like open a
pretty much. All right. So death count.
We're talking about? Yes.
We're moving on to death. We're going to talk about death. How I know we had people die in this. I didn't grab a count because I don't.
And I counted three.
Three?
Okay.
I like they stabbed three Klingons and knocked another one out because that's who Dax goes to it and is to the one guy who's like, nah. And she's like, what about this jamming device you're using? But between Worf, Kor, and I don't know if Dax killed anybody, but between Worf and Kor, they stabbed three. So if they got stabbed.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because I mean, Kor says, did you see the look on the face of that Klingon when I stabbed him with Kalos's sword? So that's at least one. And then I think they show them killing two that I could see. Yeah. So I would go three.
Sounds good to me. That sounds about right. Let's add that in. I don't know. I don't think we had any shenanigans this time. I think last episode made up for the lack of shenanigans in this episode. And Odo didn't do any changing. But again, we got two of them in the last episode. So I guess he's got credit.
He's making up for
Odo changing. Odo changing.
We got to watch the budget. Okay. Chill. Watch the budget.
Yeah, what was it? What did they say it cost per change?
$15,000.
$15,000.
What?
Yeah, we found that out on the Star Trek cruise that it cost $15,000 every time they had him change into something.
Oh my god! Is that just from editing, or what? What was the
I think it was the CGI effects at the time. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I wonder if there was a thing with like diminishing returns on that, where the more they did it, the cheaper it got or not.
Yeah, I wonder.
Maybe. I mean, I'm sure that was an average, but
they get a bulk discount on CGI.
Right. Like, well, hey, we're going to turn him into something 10 times this season. So, like, can we just negotiate?
Yeah, can you just give us a bulk discount? Right. On this?
Well, and the show ran for a bunch of seasons. So, over that many years, too, I would assume that CGI improved over 7 years and, like, probably got a little cheaper and stuff like that and easier to do.
I mean, it's still the 90s, but
it is. But 1990 probably was harder than 1997, I would hope.
Yeah, it was fair. That is fair. I was just having a conversation with a friend earlier about the changes in technology over the 90s and like cell phones and, you know, my starting cell phone versus their starting cell phone, which, you know, my friend is older than me. So it's funny to think about it that even in a 10-year span, it does change a lot. So you're right. There's probably a big difference between 1990 and 1997, but.
Yeah, that's true.
Absolutely. So I don't know. Yeah, I'm sure the $15,000 was just a ballpark number and it cost different amounts and who knows what. But
yeah, like fun with that. Had, yeah, it sounds fun.
And it's $15,000 in 90s money. Like, it's not.
No, that's today. Why I'm like shocked. It's so much.
Yeah. 90s. Alrighty. Money. Don't say it like it's from like, well, it's last century money.
It's 30 years ago. That's
with
that's
inflation, that would be money. Like double.
Right.
Probably more, actually.
Or more, yeah.
Yeah, because inflation just in the last couple of years has been a lot. So, I mean, yeah, from 95 until now.
All right, let's find out. They have calculators like this.
We do go on weird tangents.
Yeah, now I'm curious. Like,
do we go into weird tangents? Let's see. Inflation calendar calculator. Okay, while I'm looking that up, so that does make our TOS deaths. We have our standard 1650. And then we have TNG, we have our 30,028. And now in DS9, that brings us up to 20,313 dead. So we have a grand total of 51,991.
So close.
Nice.
Lives lost so far.
Right there.
Yep. And then all of our other stats were the same. So let's see. If it was 15,000, 15K in 1999.
This is 95.
95.
Yeah. 95. Sorry. Yeah, 95. That's what it did. 95. Calculate. So it's a little over double. It's $30,543.90. So 103.6% inflation since 1995.
My goodness.
So we could almost change that and just start saying 30K. It was 30K. 30K of our dollars.
30,000 of our dollars.
It is. That's a ridiculous
bring back dollars. Yeah.
And nowadays, that probably what? That's like a guy for a couple hours with an Adobe program. So
right.
That's probably like a $200-$300 probably. To get that kind of effect, people do it for
that
free.
That is
on YouTube.
Crazy to think like, about it, though, because people do get paid so much less to do those things now because they are, you know, simplified and we have such better technology. But wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Simplified and much easier and yeah, just out to the masses.
Yeah.
Boopity boop boop. So that's about.
They're great boop. Sound.
We got to work pot. In your transitions. Bing pot. Still love that.
Yeah, I think that's just about everything. I mean, it really is like they start an adventure, they find it, they come back, and then they beam it out into space, and they decide that it's too powerful for anyone to have, and then they go abroad, and they split up their buddy cop comedy and go on their merry way. Like,
it's pretty straightforward, basically. Really. Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
there really is no like secondary B, C plot or whatever going through this one. It's just one thing all the way through, which is good because at least they gave that the thing. They didn't try to mix in some secondary plot into this to eat up time. And
I think Dax had some good airtime in this one as well, and there were some good interactions between her and Worf, and you know that kind of helps lead into their you know, just the way that they get along and their friendship at the time. And
yeah, I mean, when he does say it, like, how well do you really know him, it made me kind of go like, how well does she really know? Like, he's only been on the station for a fairly short time, and she's like, I know him well enough, and I'm like, do you, like, do you really? Because, I mean, we've been watching Worf now all through TNG and a good chunk now in DS9. And I'm like, I don't even know what he'd do. Like, what he's capable of, per se, when it comes to this relic of, like, Klingon. So, I don't think she knows.
I don't think so either. And with Klingon culture being so significant to them, like, you know, I mean, it's like the religious iconography of it. I think that, you know, there's no way for her to know how important that is or isn't going to be to him yet at that point. And so this was a big learning experience for her getting to go on this adventure with him. And I do think that that helps shape some of their relationship moving forward into the series. But, you know, it's just a little insight into it.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Alrighty. Jeff, are you closing us out again? Phil, are you going to close us out today?
Phil is never going to do it. I think he's been pretty blatant about that.
I will still keep asking because I'm that annoying. So
that's accurate.
Yes. All right, Jeff, take it away.
All right. You can check us out at nerdtrekpodcast.com.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. To wait for the verification where you can see our faces doing things and buy our stuff from either Bonfire or Cafe Press, because you can get a variety of different items from mugs to shirts to underpants.
Undies.
Undies.
Always comes back to the undies with that one.
I love the undies.
They're so adorable.
Hey, they I'm an undie loving girl, okay?
I get distracted. Oh, 5-star rating and review if you go to podcast things. And when you are done, I'm just copying you.
You're trying to.
I know. I need to come up with my own thing. When you're done trying to seize power of an entire species, you can go give us a 5-star rating and review, and also listen to our other shows, like the ones I previously mentioned. Yes.
And,
10 Minute Expert.
Quest, dude, 10 Minute Expert, and the Nerd Trek Movie Club.
I like my species the way it is.
Yes. And then, and go see Stephanie on all of her social medias and things that she can mention right now.
Yes.
Yeah. You can find me on the social medias on TikTok and Instagram and X and all of those fun things and YouTube, Desert Rose Cosplay. And you can find me and my friend Joni Brosas, who do the Star Trek convention together yearly, on our new documentary series that will be coming out called Cause and Effect. So keep an eye out for that. Very fun.
Awesome.
Now, is it Cause and Effect, COS? And
yes.
Effect?
Yes. Isn't that cute?
That is good.
I'm a fan. I like that.
Yeah, that was great. All right. Well, that wraps it up for us. Say goodbye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.